Yeah, when I was 13, like a lot more of the lads at Woodlesford School, we were fortunate to have a school teacher who was really up in football, a really educated fella on sport. And he must have had a plan, Frank Warrington, that he were picking the cream, if you want, without sounding big-headed. He were picking the cream of Woodlesford School and developing him on from 11-year-old. I know on games day there might be probably 50 boys out wanting to play football, but Frank had picked the cream out, maybe 20 young lads, and he'd look at them, and the rest, he'd say, "I'm sorry, lads, but go get a ball and go up top end of field." And he used to call them rabbits. He would say, "You rabbits, you can get up there." Like, and he developed these young lads, and I were fortunate to be part of that. And he developed them young lads from about 1952. And as these young lads started to grow up, it come to 1954-55 season, where we'd had some spankings. We'd gone to some schools as younger players, and they'd tore the pants off us, but it was starting to become that it were our turn. And I remember 54-55, there weren't many sides then what were on the same level as these as Woodlesford.
So tell me what happened that year. What competitions did you play in?
Yeah, well, we weren't far off of being probably the best side in the league, school league at that time. Mickletown at Metley had been dominant for years. And we met Mickletown in the semi-final of the Charity Cup. We beat them 3-0 in the semi-final. And a lad there who were at Rothwell Church School, he spoke to me after the game. He says, "I've been talking to the Rothwell County Council School captain." And he says, "I've told him the results." He says, "Oh," he says, "that looks like a walkover for us then." So this lad said to him, he says, "Well," he says, "I'll tell you what." He says, "If they play as well in the final against you as what they've played against Mickletown tonight," he says, "I think you've got something to put up with." And then the following Friday night, we turned up at the Rabbit Trap at Rothwell to play Rothwell Council, and we ended up beating them 3-1 in the final. I remember after the game, all the lads, as I say, we were only 13 and a half, all the lads were absolutely overjoyed because we'd had a share of beatings as we were young lads, but we'd started to develop. And it come to presentation, and I always remember the presentation. We all stood there waiting, as you are waiting. John Charles were there to present the trophy. And as he gave Malcolm Anforth, our captain, as he handed the trophy to him, the lid off the charity cup come off and hit me on top of the head. And I mean, he's a big man with John, and he just rubbed my head. He said, "Oh, sorry, sonny." He said, "Well, he could have thrown the cup at me." We were so overjoyed, like, but yeah, that were really us starting to blossom. But unfortunately for Frank Warrington, where he should have had us for the last year, as 14-year-olds to 15-year-olds, the schools changed from county council schools into secondary moderns, and Woodlesford and Alton, they had to go to Mickletown, and Royds opened up to accommodate the two Rothwell schools and Sturton School. And because it was the first year, everything were upside down. There were no competitive cricket, there were no competitive football. It just seemed to be a waste of our last year in sport, for us anyway.
Oh, I see. So effectively, you would have expected to stay at Woodlesford School for another year, but because the secondary school started, you had to leave earlier. So
that's right.
You could have played another season.
That's right. And it was just a season what actually was wasted. Lund's buses used to pick us up outside of Woodlesford School 8:30 or 8:45 on the morning, and then it would pick up then again at Alton Lodge, Alton Crossroads, as it was called then, which as outside of the motel, and bring us through into Mickletown, and then going back on an evening, it was same again. I remember it quite well because we'd no sooner got off the bus coming home, which would be dash home and get us out gear on, because most of us were paper boys as well, so down to the paper shop to get the papers and that, get them delivered. Like my round, I can still remember my round. Walking down Aberford Road and then up past Addle Hall, that's where I started, onto Ormsley Field Lane, up to Ormsley Field Lane, down the left-hand side of North Lane, into Eastview, out of Eastview, down to the bottom, and then back up Westview and finish where, somewhere near where the fish shop is now, and that was my fare for round. 6 shilling a week.
Who did you deliver the papers for?
Mr Lee, I can't remember whether it was Harry Lee. Mr Lee, who I believe now it's a shoe repair shop, Murray's Shoe Repair Shop on Aberford Road, but that's where, and most of us, what were on us last year were paper boys, doing as little bit like.
And I suppose most people took an evening paper then, didn't they?
They did, yeah, and probably a lot more simpler than what it seems now, because at that particular time, you got the Yorkshire Evening Post and the Yorkshire Evening News. And some wanted news and some wanted post. And you had to remember which house wanted a news and which house wanted a post. For a while, it took a bit of getting used to. But after a while, you realise, oh, this is one for news, this is one for post and that. But it weren't straightforward like it is now, where it was just an evening paper going through.
Just go back to the football year, 54-55. Just go back to the beginning of the season. And you ended up winning the Charity Cup, right? But just describe what other teams you would have played to get to the final.
Whitwood Mere at Castleford was one of them. Why Whitwood Mere? I don't really know. Great Preston, that was one. Sturton was another. Rothwell Church, Rothwell Council. There might have been more, as I say, but they were the teams what was in competition with us throughout the season. But when it came to the Charity Cup, there was just four teams in the Charity Cup. In the first semi-final, there was Rothwell Council v Rothwell Church. In the second semi-final, there was Mickletown versus Woodlesford. Rothwell Council bet Rothwell Church to get through to the final. Woodlesford bet Mickletown, 3-0, as I say, and then it went through to the final, and we bet Rothwell Council 3-1.
What was the concept of the Charity Cup?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it must have been, they did have a gate person on, and what have you, and they did go around, I know, at half-time with a raffle. But someone said it must be Frank's lucky week because he's won the raffle on the semi-final and he's also won the raffle at the final day. So Frank Warrington, whether that were true or not, I don't know, because we were that excited of actually waiting for to be presented with the trophy.
And was there much of a crowd?
Yeah, there were a good crowd there. With it being an evening kick-off, lovely sunny April, May time, and there was a banking. I can remember a banking at the far side of the field, and they were sat all along the banking as well as round the ends and sides of the field. We got changed underneath in like the cellars of a pub. Like, I don't know whether it was something to do with the bowling, whether it was something bowling or what, I don't know, because I was to say, but I know it was a pub that were really near to the football ground.
When did you normally play the football matches?
Saturday mornings, mainly Saturday mornings.
And how did you get to anywhere?
Frank Warrington and Alf Owles used to be more or less as transport and that. But sometimes we'd walk. If we were playing Rothwell, we'd walk there, you know. But if we were playing like, as I say, Three Lane Ends, or Sturton, we'd catch a bus, or Frank Warrington would get the car out, and Alf Owles would get the car out and get us here. Because there weren't a big squad then. You were only checking 11 players. There weren't substitutes then and that.
What about boots and kit? Did you have to provide that yourself?
Yeah, no, the school provided the shirts. You had to provide the shorts and socks and boots. But each player took his own strip home to be washed, and if for some reason he weren't selected or if for some reason he worked well, then it were a matter of handing the strip in so that the game could go ahead, like, you know. The first strip what we had when we were, what would we be, just about 11, before we were 12, was red and blue stripes. That was an old strip what had been handed down and handed down. Over a few generations, because there were some very pale strips, some deep, and that had obviously got overwashed. And then Frank Warrington got us a new strip for us with green and white quarters. And, of course, we wore white shorts and green and white hoop socks. they stuck with us like until our final year. So how many years they went on after we'd gone into secondary modern school, I don't know.
And did you all keep in touch as you grew older, as time went by?
That's so strange, is that, because after leaving school in 56, we all shot in us all different directions, and the year of 54-55, winning the cup, had never crossed my mind at all. It was job done, and you go on to get married and that. And then another chapter came into it where one fella I bumped into and said, wouldn't it be nice if we could all meet up? And never give it a thought, never give it another thought. I thought, where they're gone, never give it a thought. And then, being involved with local archives in Methley, I was sat in the archives room, and a lady come and sat aside of me, and she says, you always lived in Methley. I says, no, I haven't. I says, I lived at Woodlesford for 8 or 9 years. Woodlesford, she says. Oh, I lived at Woodlesford. Whereabouts did you live? I said, I lived on All Saints. So she'd come with a friend, and a friend were talking to someone else in the room, and she shouted to her, Lorna, have you got a minute? So Lorna came across, and she says, this gentleman here lived at Woodlesford. Did you? I says, yeah, I did. I lived for about 8-9 years. She says, did you know Amforth? I says, I knew Malcolm Amforth, my mate. She says, he went to live at Blackpool. She says, that's my brother. Well, I says, I hadn't seen him since, 15, since he left school. Is he all right? Is he good? Oh, he's keeping well. I says, you must let him have my telephone number. I've wondered time upon time, where's he got to? So about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, I gets this telephone call. Malcolm Amforth. Well, I says, of all these, where are you? Oh, I says, I'm at the other side of Preston. I said, I knew you'd gone to Blackpool, man. And then he mentions about, wouldn't it be nice if we could all get up together, all these lads. I says, I wouldn't have a clue where, where they are. I says, 50-odd years, and I haven't even had a, just by chance, I bumped into someone who, your sister, and I said, don't know where to start, Malcolm. The following morning, it's still in my head, is this, what do we do, how can we do, and where we can do. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I went out with Doug. I thought, I know what I'll do. When I get back, I'm going to start taking some potlucks and go through the telephone directory and see if there's any what's still around. So I looked up and I thought, right, David Tiffany. Right, I looked through the directory and I couldn't find the nearest Tiffany. There wasn't one at Alton or Woodlesford or Rothwell. The nearest one were at Lofthouse Gate. I thought, here we go. In for a penny, in for a pound. Pick the phone up, dial this number. Hello? I says, I'm sorry to trouble you. I says, it's a shot in the dark. I says, but I'm looking for a David Tiffany who was at Woodlesford School in the 50s. That's me, he says. I says, bullseye. Bullseye, first shot. And then me and David got chatting, and we got chatting about how it could be if we could get it all together. And I says to David, I says, if you're up for it, I'm up for it. Let's have a go and see if we can round them up. He says, I don't know where to start. I says, I'm same. I know one lad, that's all where it is. I says, I know Jim Barris. I says, and we've got to start and go from there. He says, right. He says, we'll be in touch with one another. He says, because I haven't seen you for 50-odd years. I don't want to see you. He says, because if we're going to get it all together, I want it to happen on the night. So I says, right, so we're ringing round and trying to get, do you know where so-and-so is? Do you know so-and-so? I know his cousin's living at so. And we were, anyway, after a week, we more or less clubbed maybe 7 or 8 different lads together, and we were still at it. And within a fortnight, we contacted every one of them lads and made arrangements to have a reunion. The only lad what was missing had gone to Australia, and we knew that John Burton had passed on, so we got everybody. And we made the arrangements with the Midland Hotel to have the night there.
So what was it like when you all went and met again for the first time after so many years?
Unbelievable. I mean, I knew one lad, and he'd say to me, who's he? I don't know. And then somebody would come across and say, I know that voice, I know that. And I turned round, and having seen probably one of the smallest lads, Dave Tiffany, 6'1". God blimey. And he recognised me straight away. He said, you haven't changed. But it was so strange. Then he was saying, well, he's so-and-so, don't you know so-and-so? And he's so-and-so. And they come from all over, from out of Lancashire, from East Yorkshire, from out of Wakefield, all over the place. But they were all there.
So when you were in that team, who were your footballing heroes?
Oh, I think we looked at Stanley Matthews and Jimmy Greaves and Nat Lofthouse. We thought we were all rolled into one, so to speak. You know. John Charles.
And which team did you support a team?
Yeah, we did. I think we'd all got different teams. And funny enough, you like more or less now, you brought up locally, you think, well, Leeds United's my... They're never my team. Manchester City were my team. And then other lads that say, well, no, mine's so-and-so, mine's Bolton, mine's... But what brought that about is in the winter months at Woodlesford, the older boys, when I say the old, some 18, 19, the game Subutio took over as a pastime, but someone decided to operate a league so that you got competition. And I were Manchester City, Dave Walsh were Leeds United, and blah, blah, blah. And we used to have competitions throughout the winter months in each lad's house. So we got something to do, you see.
Where did you get your footballing information from? Because you didn't have all of tellies then.
It was mainly the Green Final. That's what you kept up with. You waited for that chap coming and shouting Green Final. We were out like a rocket outside to make sure you got one. And all the results were in there and everything you wanted to know, you know.
And did you go to football matches?
Yeah, we did. As we were in as like 14, 15, we used to... of course, Leeds United were in the second division then. They weren't in the first division of the Football League. The team what was in the first division were Huddersfield Town. So we used to go down to Fred Knowles' buses on Farrell Lane, and for about £2 you could buy a ticket on a Saturday and get on the bus, which would take you to Leeds Road, to Huddersfield Town, and then you'd be about ninepence to get in the ground onto the touristing. And of course we could see all these players, Stanley Matthews, Bert Trautman, all these players what we like worship through paper, but we're old enough to stand there and see what they're actually, you know, were all about. Unfortunately, as I say, it weren't Leeds, it were Huddersfield, but we weren't only just going to see Huddersfield Town, we were going to see the opposition as well, like, you know.
I see, so you weren't really Huddersfield Town
supporters. No.
You went because they were in the first division and everybody else was there.
That's right, all the top sides were eventually turning up, you know, and the top players, like, it wasn't that we were in the blue and white of Huddersfield Town, we were wanting to look at all these top players, Shackleton, Len Shackleton, Sunderland, and all this, what were there, yeah, brilliant.
Did a lot of grown-up men go on that?
No, yeah, it were a full bus, yeah. Yeah, it were a full bus what used to leave, and as I say, it used to drop us off outside the ground and pick us up outside the ground. All we got to do is get out of the bus and get through the turnstile.
And where did you get on it? Where did it start from?
I think it was somewhere, I don't know if it was Midland or not, I think it was somewhere at Midland Hotel there. It's a lot of years, but I think that's where it picked up from.